Hello, this is Dr. David Freeman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. With so many physicians promoting grass-fed beef, free-range eggs, and organic butter as miracle foods, leading cardiologist Dr. Joel Kahn is here to set the record straight. He says eating plant-based foods can save your life. As a vegan for 30 years, he's helped tens of thousands of patients improve their lives where traditional medicine has failed. From diabetes, autoimmune disease to cancer, could the answer to achieving optimal health be found in the produce section? Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Freedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is considered one of the world's top cardiologists. He's the founder of the Kahn Center for Cardiac Longevity, where he has helped thousands of patients achieve optimal health through a plant-based diet. He believes that a vegan nutrition is the most powerful source of preventative medicine on the planet and could hold the answer to eradicating many of today's chronic diseases. His new book is called The Plant-Based Solution. Welcome number one best-selling author, Dr. Joel Kahn.
Well, thank you, and so glad to share some critically useful information, because that old ticker of ours is what we need every day, and we forget about it every darn day. I'll just say, those miracle foods you mentioned, like grass-fed beef and butter, I think it's a miracle anybody's alive if they're eating a lot of that.
Right. And, you know, we got the plant-based versus paleo diet debate. And, you know, it's as heated as Republicans and Democrats. One group tells us to eat meat like a caveman, and the other says we should eat only food that grows from the ground. Share with the listeners why plant-based is the way to go.
Yes. And I think, you know, I chose 41 years ago as an undergrad in college to try and survive the dorm and eat from the salad bar. That became a eating style I've maintained for four decades, exclusively plants all that time. But yet I talk to real people in real situations, and, you know, plant strong, plant predominant, 90% plus plants, all those will work unbelievably well, because that's where the fiber is. That's where the minerals are. That's where cancer fighting, heart disease fighting, body slimming, glowing skin, kind of nutrients are found. And don't come with the pesticides, the herbicides, the chemicals, the mercury, the toxins, the PCBs that unfortunately are chemical-laden world that, you know, in the graduate Dustin Hoffman back in the 60s, when the future is plastics. Well, sadly, they were right, and it's come back to bite us in our health rear. So it's a wonderful place to live, whether you're 90 to 100%, and the science is strongest there over anywhere else. The world's leading scientific expert in aging and living a long, healthy life published a book about 2 weeks ago, and he's talking about 18 to 19 totally plant-based meals a week and two or three servings of fish a week as his recommendation as a top scientist, Nobel nominated. I couldn't agree more, and we can debate 18 or 21 meals a week, three a day, but somewhere in that sector would be a real smart choice for the planet and for your own planet, your body.
Right. That makes sense. You know, there's an old saying we all learned as children, beans, good for the heart. But the paleo diet advocates say beans and legumes contain anti-nutrients that are bad for the heart. You're a leading cardiologist. What's the real truth here?
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity to go on the doctor's show about 6 weeks ago and have a debate or conversation with a cardiovascular surgeon, Dr. Stephen Gundry, who's, I think, doing an excellent job scaring America, or the Western world, that if you don't cook your beans and your lentils just right, you could die. And he'll tell you, five red kidney beans will kill a man. And there's no bigger BS that's going on right now than that. There's this wonderful research project called the Blue Zones, where around the world, where do people live to 100 years old or longer with more frequency than other places? And the only common food amongst people that are 102 years old and climbing hills and playing guitar and singing in church, the only common food group is legumes. I mean, everything else has variability, but they all eat a high concentration of peas, beans, and lentils, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of variants of those three food groups. So when you look at real science and real survival and real optimal health, you know, eat them. Don't eat them raw. I mean, last time I had raw red kidney beans was never, nor did I ever want to. But cook them and soak them and sprout them and enjoy them every chance you can.
Right. That's a good point. What about grain? You know, my grandma made oatmeal for me when I was a kid, and she told me how healthy it was, and it's still one of my favorite breakfast foods. But now there's these anti-grain movements telling us they're bad for us. Was my grandma wrong?
No, grandma was pretty smart, but, you know, food industry has made it a little more complex. We've always had a real medical condition called celiac disease, where you know, your bowel gets inflamed from some of the proteins that are concentrated in grains, and your GI distress and bleeding and weight loss. That's a real disease. The best estimates are one person in 100 has celiac disease. Then there's celiac or gluten sensitivity, rashes, headaches, stomach upset, not thriving, thyroid issues. That's very controversial, but some of the leading experts I hang with, even chiefs of departments at Harvard in this area of specialty, say that's 5% of America max, maybe due to the fact that a lot of our wheat is being sprayed with Monsanto's Roundup in the fields. It's not GMO wheat. It's not genetically modified. It's still wheat. It's different than our grandparents ate, but it's being sprayed with really toxic pesticides and adjuvants. And then that leaves 94% of us that can eat grains and thrive. And the majority of the science data, not just the majority, the overwhelming majority is 100% whole grains, less diabetes, 100% whole grains, less cancer, 100% whole grains, less heart disease, thinner bodies. So white bread out, white crackers out, refined crackers out. But 100% whole grain, kind of old country thick breads, enjoy them. They're good for you, and put some lettuce and tomato on that sandwich as often as you can.
Yeah, you know, it's like me when I have the oatmeal. I feel full. I feel better. I have more energy. My body talks to me. And doesn't that happen if they have that and then they don't feel good? Maybe that's just not for them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is two common statements, one is which is moderation in everything. And I believe that does not lead people to healthy options, because, you know, this discussion came up in the last few weeks with President Trump's medical exam, and he had a heart CAT scan called a calcium score, and that's what everybody's saying. Oh, moderation and everything. Well, moderate people get moderate heart attacks, moderate cancer, moderate diabetes. When it comes to your health, being very careful about your diet is a very wise and sage advice. Being more careful than the average person, because average health in the United States is not really all that optimal. So, you know, moderation and everything isn't such a smart approach. And the other one is, listen to your body, you'll figure it out. Now, I do agree there's something to that. Of course, if there's a food group you eat in and it makes you feel bad. But I don't think everybody needs to be a food scientist and create a unique diet for them, or we don't have the ability to do that. We know eating locally sourced foods close to nature, not processed, largely plants, drinking water, tea, and coffee as the primary sources of liquid, is the ideal diet for the human body. And you can add a few things to that that you like more than other people. You can add in some small amounts of grass-fed beef, salmon, chicken occasionally. Or you can add in tempeh and beans and organic tofu and jackfruit if you want to stay totally plant-based. But locally sourced, close to the ground, mainly water and largely plants is a great little four-step process to optimizing your health for everybody.
More with Dr. David Friedman coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the cycling IQ or running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, You not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/goodhealth or mention the promo code goodhealth when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/goodhealth. Now back to Dr. David Friedman.
Yeah, great advice. You know, autoimmune disease seems to be on the rise. I'm hearing about it everywhere. Are there any studies or from your own clinical research showing plant-based diet eaters have a stronger immune system?
There is indeed an anti-inflammatory diet, kind of a term maybe popularized by Dr. Andrew Weil with the big white beard in Arizona, that there's foods you can eat that favor inflammation. Certainly all the processed fast food, vending machine food right away. Lot of added sugar right away. Trans fats used to be in the diet and baked goods are largely out. That's inflammatory food. And probably the worst of those are processed red meats, the bacon, salami, hot dog, pepperoni. Processed red meats, very inflammatory. On the other hand, 100% whole grains, fruits and vegetables, whole, close to nature. The legumes we talked about, the beans, peas, lentils, are very anti-inflammatory. So there are many examples of rheumatoid arthritis, even lupus. Venus Williams, tennis player, had an autoimmune disease called Sjogren's, dry mouth, dry eyes. Mm-hmm. It's gone now because she eats only a plant-based diet and still kicks butt on the tennis court. So yes, autoimmune disease can be chased away by eating a anti-inflammatory, colorful, often organic plant diet.
Right. You know, when I tell my patients to eliminate beef and milk, they look at me weird and they say, well, how am I supposed to get my protein? And, you know, as a vegan, I'm sure you get asked that a lot. What do you respond to when someone says, I need to get protein and that's not going to give me enough?
Yeah, I usually ask people where they get their Cialis and Viagra because they're probably suffering from excess animal products and protein. But I'm kind to people, and I'm really not in their face. I'm just in the mode of educating them. Again, the latest nutritional data is that until we're in our elder years, we're probably better off eating a relatively low-protein diet, and specifically a low animal protein diet, that being dairy, eggs, and meat, in that it's known, the biochemistry is known, that the animal protein and the amino acids actually promote aging, accelerated aging. And there's no doubt about this scientifically. The pathways are known. Plant proteins like beans and rice and greens and nuts don't activate those same aging pathways. Until we get 70, 75, we should favor a lower protein diet. That's part of it. Number two, there's plenty of protein in plants. As a physician who's cared for people for over 30 years, as a person who's chosen to eat only plants for over 40 years, protein deficiency, with rare exception of total abject poverty in the United States, does not exist. What we're suffering from is calorie excess, animal protein excess. It's leading to obesity, type 2 diabetes, dementia, heart disease. So eat less often, and eat less animals would be a great three-step process for every listener.
Yeah, such interesting advice, because everything we see today is protein, protein. It's like they're pushing protein down your throat, and everybody believes they need more protein. And what you said is pretty interesting, not to your, what, over 70?
Yeah, you know, and I don't pick these data points randomly. This is 2016, October 1, the JAMA Internal Medicine, which is a journal. This is actual human data and actual survival data that says too much protein of an animal source early in life, there's a greater risk of dying prematurely. So it's in our literature, but you're dealing with multi-billion dollar companies and their access to TV and ads and bloggers and other people, some of which have self-interest, some of which are just confused. But if you really get to hardcore scientists, longevity diets are low in protein till we're older and getting frail, and then we may have to flip that switch on a little bit.
Well, it makes sense. You know, a hot topic right now is gut health, particularly microbiomes and how they relate to disease. Is there a difference to how our good bacteria responds when we eat meat compared to plant-based foods?
Yeah, you know, there is. Great question. The most interesting study in the last 2 years is they took 24 people that live in the south of the United States eating a traditional southern diet, which is really a bad diet, the fried foods and the rich meats and cheeses. And they took 24 people living in South Africa, eating largely out of the forest, out of out of their gardens, largely roughage and plant-based, and they switched their diet for 2 weeks. But during that experiment, every bowel movement, every blood test, every measure that they could to look at the effect, and within just 2 weeks, there was a tremendous difference for the worse health in South Africa eating now a Southern American diet, fried cooking, and an improvement in the United States for the people in the study that started eating largely tubers and roots and beans and, you know, things that are native to the South African people. So within just 2 weeks, you can totally flip your GI health for the better or for the worse. And that is the trend. Plants favor a different group of bacteria in your colon that do promote less risk of developing colorectal cancer, because you're just moving stuff through quicker, one aspect,
right,
and you're also having different bacteria there too.
You know, when you bring up the colorectal cancer, I mean, if you think back, there's no denying now that cigarettes cause lung cancer, and there's so much unbiased evidence showing people that eat beef are more prone to colon cancer. If you could pick one food group that is hands down public enemy number one when it comes to heart disease, which one would you pick?
I actually would pick the processed red meat group that I mentioned. You know, in October 2015, made the headlines around the world for like a day, that the World Health Organization had looked through 800 research articles and had a whole panel of unbiased experts and concluded that processed red meat like bacon, salami, bologna, and hot dogs causes colorectal cancer and was strongly associated with the development of heart disease, diabetes, dementia, congestive heart failure, like the top five causes of death in America. Now, people love their bacon. People love their hot dogs. It's a dose related. One strip of bacon a week's a lot less risk than four strips a day, and everybody can decide what risk they want to take. So you need to quit smoking, but certainly hospitals should stop serving these processed red meats and make an example for the public so they can take that example home and maybe follow it. But we all should avoid those foods as often as we can. They're dangerous, dangerous foods.
Yeah, it makes sense. I know in your book you bring up plant-based diets have a better, or advocates have a better sex drive, and that sentence alone probably is going to convert many of our listeners to give up their hamburgers just hearing that, because sex sells. But share with us, what does sex drive have to do with fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, so, you know, sex drive and particularly sex performance, and particularly in men, because we just know more about the plumbing, it's a little wee bit simpler. It requires tremendous increase in blood flow to make that all happen. And where does blood flow come? Inside arteries. And what do we need to have that all happen? Healthy, youthful arteries. And we know the same things that clog arteries to the heart. The cigarettes, the donuts, the cheese pizza, the lack of exercise, the waistline creeping up, all of which lead us to have heart attacks at a young age or at any age, can also rob us of our sexual performance. The opposite is true. We know there's certain foods, watermelon, arugula in a salad, kale, spinach in a salad, pine nuts, actually, the beets and beet powder, actually just power your arteries to be healthier with just one meal. So if you're going on a date, guys, and you're going for fast food, it's going to be, you know, a fast ending to your amorous desires. And if you'll slow down and have a nice big leafy green salad and don't throw the beets out and maybe, you know, put some pine nuts on there and maybe have a nice watermelon for dessert, at least in the summertime, you're powering up your amorous performance by far.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. You know, men, it's a vascular organ down there. And, you know, you do realize that what you eat affects the heart, but they don't realize, hey, that's got, like you said, the plumbing. It's got a flow. And obviously eating something that's keeping the flow going is more congruent with that. I did notice in your book you mentioned that plants hold the key to better aging. How so? So basically that's something that you mentioned, people live longer and look younger?
Yeah, part of it, well, in terms of just cosmetic aging, our skin is made of collagen. Our heart arteries, or all our arteries, are made of collagen. And a very famous professor who's now passed on, Dr. Linus Pauling, PhD, won two Nobel Prizes. A lot of people know him as the vitamin C doctor. He said, you know, you can make your arteries stronger. You can make your skin glow better by making your collagen stronger, not by bone broth, but by eating a lot of foods rich in vitamin C and a lot of foods rich in an amino acid called lysine. What does that mean? Eat oranges, eat lemons, eat limes. Eat green leafy vegetables, eat lentils, eat almonds. You can actually power the production of collagen inside your body. And what ends up happening? Your skin looks younger and fresher. And that's been shown. And some of the most interesting research on aging right now is computer programs that take a picture of your face and tell you how old that face looks by a computer program. And it does really reflect the aging of your body internally. Eat plants to stay young externally. Eat bright, colorful, delicious plants every day to stay young internally, too.
Interesting. I know in your book you state the three biggest killers, you got heart disease, diabetes, cancer, can be reversed with a plant-based diet. Are there certain plant foods that are better at reversing certain conditions than others, or is it pretty much following the same protocol?
No, that is the miracle of it, is that you can, I'm a cardiologist, and I talk to patients about the scientific data they can stop or reverse blockage in arteries by adopting a plant-based diet of whole foods, naturally low in sugar and fat. But at the same time, their waistline goes down. At the same time, their psoriasis goes away. At the same time, their migraines improve. At the same time, their blood sugar starts improving. So there's one core dietary approach that has so many benefits. In fact, even affecting a man's predisposition or even the presence of prostate cancer. So it does not have to be uniquely addressed for one condition versus the other. Our body is this great giant interconnected web, and the cells know nutrition and they know bad nutrition kind of universally.
Great. So the law of homeostasis applies, just kind of feeding the cells and they take care of what's ailing you. It makes a lot of sense. Great. In the minute we have left, though, what else should people know about the plant-based solution? Why should everybody get this book?
Well, the end of the book is a very simple 3-week series of menus. How do you get started? What to have in your pantry and refrigerator, what to buy at the grocery store. You know, I'm all about baby steps, make some mistakes, maybe do this just on Monday, maybe do it just for breakfast, and then move yourself up. So we put together a very simple program. In fact, the whole book I wrote on purpose to be simple. You know, not enough people read books in America, but people don't read long books for sure. So this is purposely written to be a short bite, a nice, simple recipes. Nobody needs cordon bleu training to get going with this. And, you know, give it a month and see what happens. See for the first time what it is to wake up, get out of bed, and nothing hurts, and you got energy. And you have energy to the moment you go to sleep, which is my good grace, how I felt for about 40 years now.
Wow, fantastic. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'll tell you, you are a walking encyclopedia of research and practical advice, and it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thanks so much, and keep spreading the good health word.
We will do that. To get your copy of The Plant-Based Solution, go to drjoelkahn.com. And while you're there, be sure and check out his articles, videos, and recipes. Also, sign up for his weekly updates. You can follow Dr. Kahn on Twitter and also Instagram at Dr. Kahn. And for my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman and on Instagram, Health Radio Doc. If you heard Dr. Kahn share something today and you said, darn, I wish somebody could hear that, hey, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at yourgoodhealthradio.com. And while you're there, peruse our video or made our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers. Share them on social media. This information is too important to keep to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.